Greetings this morning again. This is Brother Steve Fisher. I am here to bring you the Fountain of Life daily inspiration this morning again. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Again, this is just an overview of some of Jesus' last words before he went to the cross, before he died. Very important words to us. Very important instructions to his disciples before he left. Chapter 16 it talks a lot about the Comforter, and Jesus is promising that he will give the Spirit when he leaves, and that is the theme here in chapter 16. Very important promise in our day, the promise of that Spirit of Truth, or the Comforter, that has come. Verse 1 through 4 says also talks about some warning about persecution or tribulation. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you that said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Here Jesus is reminding us that we will face persecution in this life if we follow Christ. Verse 2 there, the German version of that, of those who can speak and read German, says, Sie werden euch in den Bann führen. That's what the German version says there for verse 2. Is basically, they're going to put you out of the synagogue, or put you out of their midst. They're going to shun you. And you know, that may seem like not a real comfort, and yet when those things do come, these words are a comfort, because Jesus did remind us. He warned us for a reason that those things are coming. And so they are a comfort to us if we can see it that way. And in another place, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, he says that we should rejoice when those things come. Matthew chapter 5, and see if I can find that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, or verse 10 and 11. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Then he says in verse 12, Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And so that is the promise, that they will persecute us, but we are to rejoice, because, you know, if we see the real truth, we realize that, you know, we are on the winning side as followers of Christ, and on the other side our reward will be great in heaven. So let us take heart and rejoice when we are reviled or persecuted for his name's sake. Verse 7, he gives the promise of the Spirit. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And here it seems, you know, Jesus is reminding his disciples that he's going to go away. And it seems like they never did quite believe it until later, but he is telling them what is going to happen, that he's going to go away, and he's telling them that he needs to go away so that the Comforter that can come. It doesn't quite make sense in the natural. You know, sometimes we think that it would be so great to have Jesus right here with us, walking with us, talking to us, and instructing us like he did the disciples. And we would like to convince ourselves that we would be on the side of the disciples, where we would accept him and believe him. But you know, the fact is that there was only 12 disciples, and even one of those betrayed him. And many people did not believe him anyway, even when he was with them. But then, as when it says it's expedient that he should go away so that the Comforter can come, you know, the Spirit of Truth, we have to ask ourselves, you know, which is better? Is it better to have Jesus walking with us, or, for one thing, Jesus can only be, when he was on this earth, he can only be at one place at one time. And as a spirit, he can be everywhere, comforting everyone at the same time. And also, he dwells within us rather than outside of us. He gives us power within rather than just instructions from without. It's a little bit like having a car that has no gas in it. And everywhere we want to go, we have to tow it. We have to just hire a tow truck to tow it where it needs to go. On the other hand, when we take just a little bit of gasoline and we put it into the car, now all of a sudden the car has power from within to go by itself. And that is an illustration of what Jesus is talking about here, about the Spirit coming and guiding us into all truth and being a comforter to us, giving us power from within. So it is a blessing that we have in the Spirit of God to give us, to guide our lives. Verse 8:3-11 says, "And when he has come," meaning the Spirit, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." The word "reprove" there means to reprove or to convince. To convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. You know, one of the biggest sins is unbelief. When we read in I believe it's in Corinthians somewhere, talks about the children of Israel in the desert. And, you know, we could look at a lot of the sins that they committed there, adultery and idolatry and lust and all those things. However, it makes it clear there that unbelief really was their sin. The reason they did those things was because they had unbelief. They did not believe God. And so, here it says that he will reprove us of sin because they believe not on him, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Jesus Christ was the righteousness, and it says, "I go to my Father and ye see me no more," but he will send his Spirit to convince us of righteousness, or reprove us of righteousness. Jesus Christ lived the righteous life, and he gives, and through the Spirit he empowers us to also live a life of righteousness. And it says, "Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." You know, if we have the Spirit of God within us, then we are empowered over the prince of this world, or the devil, and the prince of this world is judged. He has no more power over us if we have the power of the Spirit within us. Which is evident in the apostles, even how they were bold and they laid down their lives and they were willing to even die, because the Spirit had the devil, or the prince of this world, he had no power over them. He was judged by the Spirit of God. And then verse 12-14, he talks about the things that the Spirit will reveal. "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew things to come." Talks about him being a revealer. There's a lot of things that they couldn't understand at that time in their carnal mind, in their natural state. But when the Spirit came and dwelt within them, he revealed those things from within. They became truth. They became life within them. They could not have handled those things at that time. So Jesus said that he will reveal those things through the Spirit. He says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. Then I'm going to skip on to verse 20. Actually, some of these verses talk about Jesus saying how he will be with them for a little while, and then a little while they shall not see me. And it says in verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. It says, a woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. We have here in verse 20 says how we shall weep and lament, talking about the disciples when Jesus was on the cross and when he died. They were very disappointed. They were very let down, and they wept and they lamented. But then when he rose again and he triumphed over death, they rejoiced. And while Jesus was in the grave, the world was rejoicing, and they were in sorrow. But here it says, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. The thing that they were sorrowing about actually turned out to be their joy or their victory. It talks about the example of a woman giving birth to a child and the pain and the travail. But as soon as the child is born, there's the natural instinct in the mother that forgets all about that pain and is excited about the little child. Then in verse 25, says, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall shew you plainly of the Father. Again, I think that is also in part a promise of Jesus revealing the Father by the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit within us reveals the Father to us, not only from the outward, but we have that truth settled in our hearts, that we, the truth of God and the truth of the Father, accepting the Father's love, accepting the Father as a Father. And then verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Very precious promise there. Peace is something that we all long for. The world, the whole world over, people are longing for peace. And it seems like everywhere you go, there is some sort of strife or there's just not real peace. Even when people think there is peace, the world has no lasting peace. But in Christ, we have this inner peace that no man can take away from us. It says, in me you have peace, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He is the victor over the world, and we can have peace in him. And as we follow him, and as we are filled with the Spirit, there is nothing that can take away that peace. It also talks about one place I just read that where no man, verse 22, your joy no man taketh from you. And that is that inner joy and that peace that the Spirit brings, that no matter what happens on the outside, what we are facing, God gives us this inner peace and joy in our hearts that will last on into eternity as long as we stay true and faithful to him and we believe his promises. Though this mortal body must die and go to dust, God will give us peace and nobody can take it away from us. God bless you this morning. Go in peace.